You're listening to the Ask Patricia Show podcast.
Hey, this is Tiffany Montgomery, number one Essence Magazine bestselling author, and you're listening to the Ask Patricia Show.
Yeah, hello and welcome. This is Patricia Benjamin. It's the Ask Patricia Show. Listen, it's just me today. Danielle's out on her travels, but I've got a great show nonetheless. Quick question. Did you know that there is a secret abundance code lying dormant inside each of us? Well, yes, apparently there is. And my guest today, Melanie Benson-Strick, she's America's leading small business optimizer. She calls it your money DNA. And on today's show, you're going to find out how to find out or how to discover your money DNA. Stay right there, grab a pen.
Keeps coming to me. Money is coming to me. Money is coming to me. Money keeps coming to me. Money is coming to me. Money keeps coming to me.
That money is coming to me, and yes, we're going to find out how to unlock that abundance code. As I did say at the top of the show, my guest today is Melanie Benson-Strick, and she's an optimizer, and she has the gift for guiding fast-paced, overwhelmed, driven entrepreneurs to thrive in their small business. But today we are going to discover how to discover our money code. Melanie, let me welcome you to the show.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. And, you know, any day that I get to talk about money DNA is a good day.
Absolutely. Well, I was really, really fascinated to come across you online. And when you explained that we all had a different money blueprint and how that could be affecting us in our business, I thought you'd be a great person just to come and talk to us on the show.
Sure, I love it. And I think when we understand our money DNA blueprints, it gives us so much information into why we have the financial results we do. So it's a great, great way to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tell us, first of all, what's the biggest reason behind cash flow challenges? We all have them.
Yes, everybody has an interesting relationship with money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we all have some kind of way we operate around money and success. And it's almost like we're running a little program underneath our brain that's dictating the things we say yes to and what we do. And, you know, behind cash flow, like if you're somebody who has up and down cash flow, or you tend to work really hard and you're always in work mode, and
yes,
you're accused of being a busy addict, or
mm-hmm,
you never have time for anything else.
That's it.
You know, you might have kind of some kind of a cash flow crunch mentality.
Okay.
And the reason why we do have cash flow challenges or funny relationships with money and success that really aren't optimized,
mm-hmm,
is because deep down inside we have some kind of a belief system that's incongruent with having the kind of success we say we want.
Amazing.
So it's almost like there's two parts of us at war. There's the part of us that says, I want more success, I want more money.
That's right.
Yeah, and then there's the part of us that's working against that, going, yeah, but I don't believe in it, or
wow,
I think money's bad, or my parents always fought about money, I don't think money's good. And so there's these conflicts going on underneath the surface. Like, we're not conscious about them.
Right, yes.
But they're running like this undercurrent that's constantly dictating our thoughts,
yes,
our fears, our doubts, our worries, and our behaviors, habits, and actions, what we will and won't do. So if you've ever tried to change a habit or do something different and it was you procrastinated or put it off or quote-unquote forgot about it or couldn't sustain it, it's because on some level you're not congruent with that behavior or action and you don't believe on a very deep unconscious level, so we sabotage.
Wow. Tell me a little bit how you came to discover this. This is quite a new teaching for us.
Well, so I've had my own pitfalls with money and success.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And for 14 years, I've been coaching people around money and success.
Okay.
And I would have people who were multimillionaires come in and tell me, I can't sustain it. Like, I'll build it and then I'll blow it up.
Right.
Or
right.
I'll make all this money and then I'll go spend it before I realize it, and all of a sudden it's gone.
Okay.
And I make good money, but somehow I never have enough money to take out of my business and pay myself. And
yes.
I'm thinking, there's a little bit of a problem here.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Why are we doing it like this?
Indeed.
And, you know, in my own journey, I always have to figure out first what works for me, and then I can guide other people.
Of course.
When I started my business, my first 2 years of business were rough.
Wow.
Like, I was just wondering if I could ever make it work. Could I ever be successful?
Yes, yes.
You know, was I ever going to get past $1,000 to $2,000 a month? And, you know, I don't know what it's like where you live, but here where I live in Los Angeles, California, $1,000, $2,000 a month, you're still in poverty.
Yes, like, it's not a lot, is it? Yeah,
I'm going to rent a little shack somewhere in the back
exactly.
of someone's house.
It's pretty much the same in London, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, we've got to be more powerful. We've got to be more capable. We've got to, you know, we are all capable of achieving higher levels of success. So in my journey, when I realized, like, you know, there are people all around me that I'm just as smart as they are.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Why are they making six and seven figures and I'm not?
Right, yes, yes.
And so I started looking at what solutions, what do I need to learn how to do? Because the answers were right in front of me, but for some reason I couldn't do what other people were doing. I couldn't be like them, so to speak, or I couldn't be in action, and I just had this yo-yo all the time.
Gosh.
And what I realized when I started to, I actually studied with a mentor at you know, this was 12 years ago.
Right.
I studied with this mentor and I realized that I had a set of belief systems that were so much my program. Like, I had bought into them. I call it creating your story.
Okay.
And I had, like, this story that I completely bought into that I was supposed to struggle around money and success because that's the way it always was in my family. It was like the legacy. And I had adopted those same beliefs. I went around and collected evidence my whole life that I wasn't going to be good because I'd get myself in debt, and then I would have to pay down the debt. And so I never had really a flow of prosperity.
Right, yes.
And, you know, there was a very big story to it, which, you know, I can share with people in greater detail another time.
Okay.
The idea is that when I realized that I had the beliefs in the way, I then realized I had to do something about it. And a lot of the things that were out there weren't working for me. So, you know, just doing affirmations and positive thinking was nice. It made me feel better for a little bit, but it didn't change the pattern.
Yeah. That's really a good point you've made, because I know lots of people that, you know, on their own, they're solopreneurs, or they're going out and really going for it, and they'll go to perhaps meetings or conferences where they tell you to use these great affirmations. And as you say, they make you feel good for a while. But really, if you do have this money blueprint that doesn't support you, that's not going to be enough.
Yeah, because the unconscious mind rejects the affirmation as invalid.
Right.
So if your blueprint is, I'm an avoider, and that's one of the seven blueprints, and an avoider doesn't really feel that they're capable of dealing with money. Like, somewhere in their back in their background, or, you know, the program they heard running for their parents on some level was, you're never going to be good with money.
Okay.
Or you don't deserve money. So they just they're uncomfortable with money. They avoid sales. They avoid... you know, they actually don't like to see themselves as someone who markets their business.
Wow.
It makes them feel icky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They tend to drop the ball a lot because they avoid anything that has to do with making more money or creating more success. And so if that's your blueprint, then you're actually going to have like a real tension when it comes to taking action and doing things that would make more money. And and you tend to hide a lot from it.
Interesting. I mean, I've got some questions here that I particularly want to ask you, but something that I didn't write down. I'm wondering if this person doesn't put themselves in the position, like you say, they don't like to market, they feel it's a bit icky, then it's not quite a confidence thing, because you may think, oh, that person isn't confident, but it's not quite confidence here, is it? They may be confident in other areas.
It could be a piece of it is confidence, because they never formed confidence in dealing with money.
Okay.
But the avoider in particular, and this is really interesting, what I saw avoiders doing was they literally were like, it'll just get worked out, or I don't want to bother with it, or I don't have time. And it's almost like, you know, with that thing when you how the ostrich sticks their head in the sand?
Yes.
And it's like they think they're protecting themselves, but really what they're doing, they're putting themselves right in the path of destruction, like an elephant could come trampling them at any time.
Exactly, precisely.
Well, that's what we do as an avoider, and I was an avoider. You know, that was a big part of my makeup, is I avoided looking at my money situation because A, I didn't want to know what it said, and B, I didn't know how to fix it, and C, I didn't really believe I was capable.
So
it all works together against us, and then we create the cycle of repeating it over and over and over again.
That's
we get really good at that blueprint.
Oh gosh, yes.
And then we don't like the results.
Yeah. So you keep talking about the blueprint. I mean, how many blueprints are there? What are they then, Melanie?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's 7 blueprints in total. Real quick, the avoider, the under-earner, and the under-earner is just perpetually undercharging and will never charge what they're worth, and so they have to make it up by working 10 times harder, or they just struggle and are in poverty their whole life. There is the overspender. The overspender has this relationship with money that they believe money defines their wealth and their success. So they'll spend what they don't have to try and be seen because that makes them feel good. It makes them feel worthy. Then there's the monk. And the monk is somebody who, on a purpose level, feels that money will get in the way of them fulfilling on their purpose. And they consciously reject having money because they have believed that money is bad or evil or will somehow derail them from fulfilling their purpose. Which is completely backwards from what really happens.
I can imagine.
And then there's the busy addict. And the busy addict has the illusion of success because they're so busy all the time. Everybody thinks, oh, they've got so much going on. And they think, oh, I've got so much going on. But really, they're just in busyness. They're not necessarily in productivity. And so a lot of what they do is just worthless activity that causes them to spin and be exhausted and overwhelmed all the time. And it's not necessarily a sustainable approach to success. So the busy addict never really gets ahead because they're constantly whirling around like a you know, the little Tasmanian devil that, that you know, just spends energy but doesn't actually invest it properly in the growth. Then there's the hoarder. And the hoarder is actually an interesting one. I don't see this a ton with small entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. I see it more with, you know, maybe people who have the blueprint of brick and mortar type businesses, or they tend to run higher profile businesses. And this personality is the blueprint of someone who knows how to make money. They'll go out and make a lot of money, but then they hoard it. And they pretend like they don't have money, or they don't. they will never use it to create a flow of financial abundance in their life. So they don't really invest very well in who they need to be to expand their purpose on this planet. They just kind of like constrict, and they're like, okay, I've got money, please don't anybody take it. And they're always worried it's going to disappear.
Is that
so fear? It creates a constricted life, which isn't really from a place of joy. It's a place of, okay, I've got all the money I need now, let's hope it doesn't go away kind of thing.
Where does that spring from? Is that somebody that didn't have a lot in life, and now they've got it, they want to hold on to it?
Yeah, sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes they've worked really hard in the past, and through life circumstance, something happened, like they had a divorce, or they had, maybe I see it in some religions. There are some specific religions that tend to reinforce the hoarding blueprint. It's kind of a, it's a part of that whole system. And, you know, some people have parents that that was the way they were.
Right.
So, you know, it comes from a lot of different places. And part of the gateway in is to understand what your blueprint is, to know that doesn't have to stay that way.
Right.
That there's actually a blueprint that I believe is more fulfilling on this planet.
Yes.
And it's the thriving blueprint.
Wonderful.
Everybody's like, I hope there's one that's kind of fun.
One that works for us. Tell us about that one.
Well, you know, in most of us, we see people having these experiences with money that we don't personally understand.
Right.
And we think, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted people to understand what the thriving blueprint is because... Mm-hmm. You know, if we understand what to shoot for, it's much easier to have the energy, the momentum, and the inspiration to let go of what isn't working when we know what will work. And
absolutely.
The thriving blueprint, you know, there's a lot of aspects to it, but the three most important ones is, first of all, thrivers expect to succeed.
Right, expect to succeed. That's a good one. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, because the other blueprints, mm-hmm. there's doubt.
Right.
Like, we're not really sure this is going to work, and there's a lot of doubt and fear and anxiety and worry inside of it all.
Yes.
And so they just expect it's going to succeed
and
whatever they're putting their mind to. They also, they have a real commitment to be successful without sacrificing and it costing them what is valuable to them. So that means they're really looking at leverage strategies and automation strategies, and they're willing out of the gate, like they're actually going into each opportunity saying, what's the easiest, best, fast, most simple way to get there? They don't overcomplicate things like a lot of the other blueprints do.
Right.
And then the third piece of it is that they really, they tend to get how valuable and important it is to immerse themselves in what I call high consciousness, high vibration, and highly valuable environments.
Interesting.
They do it naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And the imprint is, I have to surround myself with successful people, with valuable information. Like, I start my day with, you know, some way to have motivation and inspiration.
Right.
And they really are discerning about what gets inside their mind and inside their inner circle.
Interesting. I love that. So, listen, we've gone through that's kind of the negative blueprints really that don't really work for you. But obviously the best one is the thriving. Now, can you just decide, okay, I'm a hoarder and I want to take on this new blueprint, which is the thriving. Is there a process that we have to go through, or do we just sort of change our thinking? I mean, how does it work? We want to change.
Well, I'd love to say we could change our thinking, but again, that's kind of why a lot of us get into these challenges around money and success, is because we've changed what we want, but we haven't created the container for it. Like, we haven't recoded our programming.
Interesting.
And, you know, our programming is what puts us on autopilot. The blueprint is something that we've become really good at doing.
Right.
You know, it's like automatic pilot. This is who we are. This is what we're really good at creating the outcomes around. So if you change what you want as your blueprint, I like to think of it as I upgrade who I want to be around money and success.
Right.
Then you have to recode your blueprint to be able to achieve it.
Excellent. So how do we do this, Melanie? Because I can think people are saying, how do I change?
Yeah. Well, and I'm happy to share, I know we don't have a ton of time today. I'm happy to share some places where people can go to find out,
you know, more
steps involved. But let me just hit the high notes here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're looking at recoding our blueprint, I mentioned earlier, a lot of people start with positive thinking, which is so important. Like, I want everybody to know here, like, that is a very valuable piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
But you can't just do that and hope it'll all change. And that's why people get frustrated.
Because,
I'm thinking positive. I'm doing my affirmations.
Right,
I'm listening to good stuff every day. Why is this not working? And
precisely.
That's because the original decision that you made, where you formed the belief system, is still intact. And so that part of you, think of it like an iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all seen that visual of the iceberg where there's the tip above the water and everything else is below.
Yes.
Your blueprint is forming, or your actions are being dictated by what's going on below the water. And you can't see it, and you don't realize it's there half the time.
Wow.
But it's a huge anchor.
Mm-hmm.
So the recoding process, the best way I know how to explain it in a short amount of time is that we have to go back in, and we have to go to the original moment that we made the decision, and most people are like, well, how do I know? And, you know, well, most of the time, if we're recoding, we have to make sure we're at the right decision, because sometimes we make a lot of decisions.
Right.
And so I have a process that I take people through where you actually get connected to that original decision.
Okay.
Then I take you through this process using a technique called neurolinguistic programming,
right,
which is me teaching the neurons in your brain to release that unsupportive belief system and to upgrade it with the belief system you're choosing,
mm-hmm,
that you want to upgrade your blueprint with.
Wow.
And then we recode your external environment.
Goodness.
Now, see, most people just do the internal piece, and then they're like, okay, well, I hope this works, and then they go back to life, and they go to these events, and they get this help, and breakthroughs, and transformation, and then it doesn't stick, and that's because you haven't recoded the external part of your environment.
Right.
So then we have to go through and look at what is going to make this new success program stick on the outside. What new behaviors do you need? What new environments do you have to put in place? You know, what are you unconsciously doing that's causing you to sabotage the shift you want internally?
Mm.
And so we literally create an internal and external blueprint of activities, thoughts, behaviors, environments. You know, there's a whole system that will activate you operating at this new level of success. Really what I'm doing is I'm designing you to be on autopilot, to be and do the person that can have whatever level of success you put your heart around, whatever you put your mind to.
Oh my goodness. Well, this seems to me, Melanie, something that all entrepreneurs, well, all people really, even if you're not an entrepreneur, but just to be financially.
It's anybody.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it seems to me a teaching we should have perhaps in colleges and schools and universities, you know. Mm-hmm. We need to know this.
It is out there. It's just that, you know, I don't know that always people, sometimes we let our blueprint and our fears and our doubts and our worries get the best of us, and we don't say yes to the things that actually will work because it's more comfortable to stay where we are.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and we get used to this life,
and
it's a little bit scary on the other side.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the reasons why I love working with entrepreneurs as much as I do is because most entrepreneurs, we know our bread and butter comes from what we choose to do every day.
Mm.
So we have an intrinsic factor built in that says, I have to be able to clear out what's not working, to be able to have the level of impact, the level of income, and the level of achievement and fulfillment that I deserve. And so if we're stuck, we know if we don't fix it, no one else will. There's
so
no
true.
Level of marketing and sales and
the
amount
so
of new clients that will fix those internal success programs not working right.
Yeah, so good. And we've only got a minute or two left, but let me ask you, because when you listed the money blueprint, I didn't want to accept it, but I think I've got a little bit of the monk blueprint, and that's because I was brought up in the church, very religious family, and although I know intellectually money isn't evil, I know it's the love of money that can sort of, you know, take you off course, but sometimes you feel as though your life has got to have a high purpose, you know, you've got a high calling, you've got to go and change lives and make a difference in the world. And perhaps you're not motivated by money, so you're not handling your finances as you should. I mean, where should somebody like me, where should we begin if we want to change the way we behave?
I think we have to understand the real value of money. You know, money is energy. And, and energy channeled into your purpose becomes a tool for you to have the greatest impact you can possibly have.
Wow.
So we have to change what we make success or money mean to us. And that's really the bottom line.
Yes.
You know, when you go through the money DNA mastery process is recognizing you have to change what you tell yourself money is to you if you want to have more of the tool that will help you have the outcomes you want in life.
Right. So it's just the way I think about money.
Yeah, your belief, what you tell yourself, affects every behavior and belief and thought and vision and everything that goes through your mind and everything that goes through your body, it affects. So if we on some level believe that money's bad or money is not, you know, helpful, or I don't need money, then a part of us will reject doing the things that will allow us to get more powerful, more and in a good way.
Yes.
Like the more money we have, the more of the good work we can do, the more resources we can invest in, the more support we can get, the more we can even be a philanthropist and give back to people that we want. If we stop having the flow of money in our life, we stifle what we can do
right
to make the difference we want to make on this planet.
All right. Now, for those listening, Melanie, that kind of recognize themselves, perhaps they had the monk blueprint as well, or they recognize that I'm an avoider or an under-earner, mm-hmm. any one of these.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is what you're teaching. You've probably got programs and seminars. Where can people get a hold of you and make use of your resources?
Yes. Let me offer a free training that I think is
fabulous.
A great place to start with
okay.
this. If you go to moneydna.com/recode,
right,
you can get our free training, and I go deeper into the blueprints, I go deeper into the recoding process, and you know, if you're interested in going deeper, that will also show you what the next steps would look like to work with me around your money DNA. And I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those places. You can just search for me, Melanie Strick, and I'm also facebook.com/melcoach, twitter.com/melcoach. If you want to come find me and connect with me there, I'd love to hear something that you took away from our time
yes.
together today. You know, what was an aha moment for you?
Precisely, precisely. Well, I know I've had my aha moment, and I need to own up to that I had that monk blueprint and begin to change it. Well, Melanie Strick, thank you so much for joining us on today's Arts Patricia show. And I know people are going to be coming on your site pretty soon.
Well, thank you. And I'm looking forward to connecting with each and every one of you to help you recode your
yes.
money DNA and have the life and success you want.
Lovely, fantastic.
Thanks, Patricia.
Thank you. Bye-bye then.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, thank you to my fabulous guest, Melanie Benson Strick, and I'm going straight away. You know where I'm going. It's to artspatricia2000.wordpress.com, and it's all about the money. See you there.